Welcome into another week of Free Basketball. I am your host, Ryan Meadows. If I sound different, I'm on the road, out here trying to grind for a check. Because this Saturday, if you know, then you know, it's Kentucky Derby weekend. So you need all the extra capital that you can get to go place them on the ponies. So if you're doing that like me, I think post time Saturday, 5:20-something, let's go win some money together. So I've got my horses, my co-host. I don't know if he's going to get involved with it. Daniel, are you a big Derby guy?
I am a big Derby guy, but it is hard to bet on the Derby with our normal sports books. It's impossible. We don't have that here in Tennessee. So you have to go live and in person, baby, or you got to think of maybe Twin Spires. Possibly there's an app. I don't know. Yep. I'll be looking. Don't worry.
Yeah. I usually go right across the pond, as most people say, across the Mississippi River to Arkansas. And I will be going to Southland Park, which is the dog track. And they have it where you can place on it. I have actually been to the Derby. I have been there a couple times in person. One of the most patriotic things I've ever done happened to me at the Kentucky Derby. So I really enjoyed going. Me and my wife went a couple years ago with some friends, and we haven't been back since. But my new home has been Southland for the past couple years. So I always enjoy Derby Day. It's one of my favorite things. So it's going to be a fun week for me regardless. But getting to
Hold on. I'm a man of the people. So I have two things to say to you. One, this is just a correction. You're talking about going over the pond. Okay. That's to Europe. Okay. That's another country. That's river.
That's what Arkansas is to Memphians. It is a completely different country.
That is true.
It's a completely different country. It's like the English meeting the French for the first time. That's basically what it is.
All right. I'll give you that one then. All right. So I'm not going to let you out of here without telling the story. You said that it's the most patriotic feeling or everything you've ever been. So tell us the story. We have time. I got time. Sure. You got time. Let's go. Let's hear it.
I got a little bit of time. So there's actually two events that happen. First time, obviously the University of Louisville is there, right? You're smack dab. You walk by the football stadium on the way to the Twin Spires. So for us normal people, which was me and my wife and our friends, we went to the infield. We did not throw all of our money into one of those stadium seats. In the middle of the track is where most of the general public is, where most of the action is. And so we were not rubbing shoulders with celebrities. We weren't super dressed up. I mean, our wives dressed up a little bit, but we went more comfortable casual because it was all about getting to the window and, you know, having the mint juleps and all that kind of stuff. And you're there. If you're there all day, and if you know you've been there, you know, if you've been there all day, you're sitting out in the blazing sun with no shade. Yeah. You're going to be dying. And so we went more casual and just sitting in lawn chairs, but you have to go under the track into a tunnel to get to the middle where the general public is. So you actually can be underneath the racetrack for a little bit from the tunnel from the outside. Every time I've been in that tunnel, it's jam-packed with people, thousands of people. A USA chant breaks out. And it is the most glorious USA chant because it's echoing through the chamber. It's college students, you know, drunk college students and people like us who at the time were younger. But you feel so patriotic. The other one was a couple years ago. I can't remember. It was a country group, popular one. Lady Antebellum, maybe, that's Lady A, I guess, is their rebrand. I believe they sang the national anthem. And at the same time when the anthem they were starting to sing, it started to pour raining. And everyone was like fleeing, ducking for cover. People were using their seats to like cover their head. And me and my buddy just stood out there in the middle of the driving rain, hand over our heart, singing the national anthem, and I've never felt more patriotic in my life in either instances. And maybe we stood out in the driving rain after our 6-mint julep, but it doesn't change the fact that we were patriotic. So those are my two big patriotic Kentucky Derby stories.
I like it.
If you've ever been to Southland, or if you've not, there's nothing patriotic about West Memphis, Arkansas. So sorry if you live there. Don't get upset with me. I actually worked there for a little bit. I know, as a frequent visitor of the Southland Gaming Establishment. Great place. A lot of fun. But it you just don't get that patriotic feel, you know?
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I can see that. See that. All right, good story. Good story. Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into the actual basketball here. So I do want to talk about games that we have missed game one for two series. We are going to talk about game ones that are going to happen tonight in the other two series. So let's start off with the 76ers Heat. I know obviously the big talk is Joel Embiid. He fractures orbital bone. He's going to miss game one and game two most likely. If he clears concussion protocol, he'll be back for game threes and four. Do you think this is absolutely done? Even if Embiid comes back, he's going to be wearing a mask. He's had this injury before. Or do you think the 76ers can be kind of frisky and actually pull off this series late? Like, do you think they throw away games one and two and just hope with Embiid back, they protect the two at home and then they try to steal one in Miami on the road? What is your general feeling about this series?
Yeah, so with game one and two being both at home in Miami, I think those are going to be tough to win no matter what. I think those are going to be a tough game. I think with Embiid, you have a chance to steal one easily. But without him, they're going to be playing a different style. And I think it's very much similar to some other teams that do a lot of run and gun, is if they get hot, and they're able to, kind of get hot from 3-point line, or just kind of just get a lot of easy baskets. And let's say Maxey and Harden, let's say they get hot. Yes, they could easily steal a game and win, but I just don't think that they can do it on a consistent basis. I think they can get a game. I just don't know when the game is coming. And I think that's understood by everybody. The Heat just play within themselves. Even without Kyle Lowry, I feel like they could win this series in five. If Embiid does come back, I do think that does help them win. But you're talking about going from two different styles of play. They're going with Embiid, which is a little bit slower, and then they have to adjust to that on the 76er side. And then if without him, which they're having to adjust to, they're going faster, hoping they can get hot. I really think that's where it comes down to. The Heat, I don't love them, but they are much deeper. I do think that they're going to have a better chance to win these games, especially at home. So they're a 7.5-point favorite, which is crazy to me in the first game without Embiid. But that line moves a lot without Embiid. I think that's probably closer to -2.5 with Embiid. And that's still a fairly high line, in the playoffs.
Yeah. I think it got all the way up to 8.5 a day or two ago and then came back a little bit. So there's a little bit of a buyback. But the more I've thought about this series, and I know Embiid's status is obviously the most pivotal thing in this series, but I can't help but think that the 76ers could actually win this. Wow. And I've always been a big Heat defender, Heat culture and all that kind of stuff, but what's going on with Jimmy Butler? Like, he just doesn't play the last two games or game of the Hawks series. Kyle Lowry basically didn't play in the series. Am I going to really believe a team of Max Strus, who has been great this year? Duncan Robinson, you can't even find him after game one against the Hawks, where he has 9 threes. He's MIA, I believe, in Tyler Hero now.
Yeah.
Bam Adebayo did not have a great scoring first round, but he's doing everything defensively. I just don't know who I trust more to be healthy. This just seems like a, war of attrition right here. Whose bodies are left? Yeah. And don't give me all this crap about Victor Oladipo. Oh, they got him. They held him back and he's ready to go now. Like, no, I don't believe in Victor Oladipo at all. Now, to flip it on that head, do I really trust James Harden? Aging, can't get by anybody. Danny Green, who looks like his run now is basically when someone gets off a horse for a long time, like that bow-legged stride. Like Tobias Harris, who has been completely underwhelming for most of his career, but has gotten paid big money to be underwhelming. It's a very hard series to pick for me. And I think most people are just blindly picking the Heat because of the Embiid status. Yeah. And we made this mistake. It was my only mistake of predicting the first round series. I got all the series picks correct, except the Mavs Utah Jazz series. And that was simply because of the Doncic injury. And I don't want to make that mistake back to back. So I think in my mind, I actually lean towards the 76ers with all the uncertainty of the Miami Heat. Is that crazy? Or do you think I'm just overcompensating for my mistake with the Jazz in the first round, thinking they could win with Luka being hurt?
Yeah. So, man, I don't know. I think it's a tough series in general. And I think that the 76ers I think they're Jekyll Hyde, in all honesty. And I think that James Harden does struggle with a lot of size in general. And so I know that's why he struggled more in that 76ers and Toronto Raptors matchup. But in general, I would say that he has not played well, but he has learned to pass the ball more. But you're passing the ball to somebody like Embiid compared to passing now to somebody who might be like, you know, I don't know, Danny Green or Tobias Harris. And I don't trust those guys. So yeah. I think that makes Harden have to be a more of a scorer than a facilitator. But I think a facilitator role right now, especially in this point in his career, I think that's the best James Harden. But we're going to see. James Harden has went off in the past. That didn't account for many wins in the playoffs because he's never been that guy. But I think he could go off. And who knows? Is that, you know, 25 shots? That'd be double his last game. So we'll see. I think it's up in the air. And Jimmy Butler, I've never been a huge fan of him. I kind of got on the bandwagon and now I'm off again. I just think there's something weird there. And I don't like his play. And I think they're frauds. So listen, consider me on the fence completely.
Very diplomatic of you to end up in that position to not have a strong pick side, because that's what the series is. It's hard to pick a side. Like, to me, I think there is a real probability that the first two games are very ugly, like blowout potentials. And everybody's like, oh, there it goes, blah, blah, blah. But to me, in this series, it's all about game three. If the Heat somehow withstand Embiid coming back, if indeed he does come back, and win game three, then sure, this series is done for sure. But if the 76ers win game three at home, I really think by the end of game four, this could be 2-2, and then it's a 3-game race.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested by game three than I am games one and two. I think games one and two are already in the bag. I fully expect it to be up 2-0.
Okay.
But when we get to game three. So if you had to official pick, are you going Heat or 76ers?
I'm going Heat for sure in game one. And in the series, I'm saying Heat in five.
Okay. Yeah. Heat definitely game one. I actually have a little bit of a wager down that they win 15 plus. But I actually think the 76ers can win this series. Now, I can be completely wrong by game three. By the end of game three, I could be completely wrong. But I just do not think, I think it's a very interesting matchup if we get relative health on both sides. The other series, the Dallas Mavericks, Phoenix Suns, game one is tonight as well. Suns, pretty good favorites at home. I believe last I looked, it was 5.5.
Yep.
Do you believe in the Luka heliocentric offense with everyone standing around him? Do you think they're going to have the same approach as when they played the Utah Jazz, or there's going to be a lot more movement, a lot more high pick and roll stuff where Luka's actually getting downhill and finding guys to kick out to?
So I think that because I see who their coach is and I see who their best player is and I see the surrounding people outside of Luka, man, I just think they have to stay with that. The way that they just won a series, I think you have to stay with that game plan. And is that the right game plan? I don't know. I think that you have to go into that because you're going on the road. I would go ahead and stay with what you know and what kind of got you here to a point. It is a more grinded out game as they play with Utah Jazz in that series. You're going to get the exact same thing with Phoenix. They're not going to run out from you for the most part, especially with a Devin Booker who's got a hamstring injury still. I don't believe that you can just be healed that quickly and just be explosive. So I think he's going to have to be a little considerate of that leg and kind of stay where he's not trying to do, I guess, a lot defensively. And so that's probably what I would do. Is I don't know who guards him, who guards Luka, but I would somehow try to find a way to get Devin Booker onto Luka. That would be my game plan. Is I would figure out a way to get Devin Booker to guard Luka and Luka take it at Booker to make him have to do more than probably he's wanting to do. So that'd be my game plan. I don't know what the game plan would be, but I think that the Dallas Mavericks have a chance to win this series. I have not been impressed completely with the Phoenix Suns, especially with, you know, Chris Paul, who played amazing last game. I get it. But Booker is still hurting. And sometimes, you know, I don't trust the surrounding players and their shooting with the Suns. Jay Crowder just hasn't looked the same. Mikal Bridges hasn't looked the same. And DeAndre Ayton, he could be the factor in this series. If I had to put somebody as a game-changing factor, I would say DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I think for sure definitely Mikal Bridges is starting on Luka, and it's whoever the Mavericks are going to hunt. And that's who, like you said, I'm very interested to see who they're going to hunt, because Booker actually competes on defense when he's fully healthy. We just don't know the certain status of it, which I think everybody's kind of waiting to see how he looks game one to kind of get a general feeling how they feel, you know, about this series. I'm not even going to wait till then. I think the Suns were the number one team by 20 or 15 something games or whatever for a reason. And they are very good at the shots that the Mavericks try to give up. And that's those mid-range twos. And then if their role pieces are knocking down those perimeter shots, and we saw if they're not, I mean, Jay Crowder shot 10% or under 10% in the Pelican series, but Mikal Bridges picked it up. I've never loved the Suns role players, but I think with this team, you kind of have to pick your poison. And if you're going to get beat, it's going to be by the role players. So are the role players going to show up for the Suns in a series? I think after the terrible series that a lot of their role players had, I don't think the Mavs really give them much of a fight. I love Luka. I think he's one of the best players in the NBA. I think you can argue that he is the best player in the NBA if you really wanted to argue it. The Mavs are still too heliocentric for me. Like, Jalen Brunson is absolutely cooking Utah for the first couple games. And then Luka comes back, and there's whole stretches of quarters where he's just standing over on the wing, never touches the ball unless Luka gets doubled and it kicks out to him. And then he's not really in a position because someone's scrambling to him to try to attack or shoot. So I don't love the offense. And Suns are way better defensively than the Utah Jazz. I don't want to hear about any of this crap with Rudy Gobert. We saw it with Rudy Gobert. He's a regular season defender. That's why he wins regular season's awards. But when it comes to defense in the playoffs, it doesn't work. But the Suns are built with all of their defenders, even if they're struggling from offense, to keep them in a game. So I think they have the defenders to throw at people. Luka is just a beast on his own. And he can absolutely annihilate people. I mean, he's one of the few people to average 30 points in the playoffs so far. But this is finally his first time making it to the second round. So he's also hobbled with his kind of calf strain. I'm sure he'll be fine, and he's not really predicated on his speed. But I think this is where everybody's freaking out about the Pelicans. Well, the Pelicans pushed the Suns, and they just had a lot of nicks and injuries. Booker being out for most of the series, and the role players played bad. I think this is a different thing where they're back locked in. They feel good about getting past the Pelicans with all the struggles that they did have. And I think this is the shortest series of the second round. I think this could be a potential sweep.
Wow.
I think this is going no farther than five games. What do you think about the extension of the series? Do you think this is a six or seven game series?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a six game series, and I predicted that the Suns would win. And you easily could be right, because just looking at through the box scores and, you know, just kind of trying to brush myself up on how the Mavericks played against the Jazz did not shoot well from three. And we know that the Phoenix Suns are going to shoot much better than the Utah Jazz did, because at one point, the one game the Jazz won, they shot 32% from beyond the three. All right. And they only won by 1 point, right? And that was the Rudy Gobert last second shot. But Rudy Gobert, he played well offensively and defensively, not defensively. I guess he played offensively scoring, but also rebounding, which was big in that game. And I think DeAndre Ayton could do the same thing. But realistically, they went 3 of 30. The Jazz did against the Mavericks from three in one game. And one other game, I think it was maybe like 6 for 36. It was horrible. They shot so bad. We know the Suns are going to shoot better, and we know that the Mavericks give up a lot of threes. So I really think it comes down to, you know, the 3-point shot. And if that's happening, you're right. It could be a sweep. It could be a gentleman's sweep in five. But I still think Luka has a little magic in him to get them to win two games. They're going to have obviously two games at home. I think that there's a chance they could figure out a way to win two games. And so I'm just thinking that I would go at Booker just to see what he's made of, see what that hamstring's made of early, just to put one of their guys who need to be good offensively, put him in a blender with Luka, because that could be your best offense, is slowing them down on their offensive by going at their best player, because you don't want to, Chris Paul's undersized. You don't want to do that. You know, I think that's fine if he gets switched onto you, but he's also crafty. So I do like Booker's defense. I just want to see how that hamstring is.
Yeah, those are all good points. Very interested to see that game one for sure, because I don't know if it's going to be another rock fight like it was game to game
right
with the Mavericks and the Jazz. I hope not. Good God.
That was horrible.
I'm tired of looking at totals where the totals are 209. And it's like, well, I better take the under because it's definitely going under. Like, I thought we were in the best basketball's ever been ever in basketball, and we're scoring like we're back in the 90s. What happened there? But let's move on to two series where we already had game one. The Bucks-Celtics, game one, surprise, maybe, final 101-89. The Celtics 18 for 50 from three. They only made 10 two-point shots. They shot 33% from the two-point range. And this is all without Chris Middleton. The Bucks seem to put them in a chokehold. Now, I know none of the Celtics played well. They did not shoot well. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I mean, there was a lot of jokes on Twitter about Jaylen Brown was the Bucks' third best player. I thought they were missing Chris Middleton. They just picked up Jaylen Brown. Horford didn't play well. This is just a game one where the Celtics did not play well. Is that as simple as it is for you? Or do you think it's something about the mystique of the Bucks, the defense with Giannis and Drew, where there's actually cause for some concern going forward in this series?
I think there's definitely cause for concern, but you also got to look at a team that they say, you know, is, you know, really good defensively. So that's, you know, they're holding them to 89 points. No team is that good to hold anybody 89 points. Okay. That's bad shooting just in general. So it's bad shooting. They are good defensively, but they only scored 101 points. So looking at that, I look on the other side of the ball as well. The Celtics played pretty well defensively. They, you know, Giannis went off for 24 and 13, which is great. I do love Bobby Portis in this matchup as well, because I think he gives you a little bit of what Al Horford gives you on the other side. And so I do like that. And so him getting a double double, which I projected and predicted in our Slack and Bet the Lead. So if you love gambling, a little shout out, check out Bet the Lead. Hit up our Discord channel. I don't know if we even put that out. But to the Discord, that was a Bobby Portis double-double. But I do like this series. I think this is going to be one of the best series just in general, because I think both teams play well. They know who they are. And I think whoever wins this is winning the East. And so this has got a lot of good basketball left in it. Jaylen Brown's not going to play that bad, I wouldn't think. And I have a lot of faith in Jason Tatum now. Called him a front runner for many, many years. I'll eat my hat. Please play well. I predicted them to win. Come on. please.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this could be the highest level of basketball probably played in the second round, even with people missing. But I do think this is going six or seven. I lean towards seven. And the game I'm most interested by is game four, because that's the one I feel like the Celtics are going to, obviously, they're going to have to go all out on to try to even this back to 2-2 to gain the home court. So it is an interesting matchup. I mean, I don't expect the Celtics to shoot 53s again, but if that's what the Bucks are giving you, you kind of have to take them.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is now. And this is kind of the zig of a zag of three-point shooting dominates the NBA, and the Bucks are saying, look, dominate from three. We'll take that risk. And it's worked for them so far. So we'll kind of see how that goes throughout this series. The other matchup that we missed game one, the Golden State Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies, game one, 117 to 116, our very own, in the crowd, Daniel Greer. Saw you post a picture from Grizzly, yep. And I thought, hey, I know that guy. let me block this account so I don't have to see a picture like that again. Mel, how was the game? How was the environment? Were you pulling your hair out, or was it just a fun thing to be a part of?
Man, I'd have to say it was a fun game. I know that the Grizzlies lost, and I know there's a lot of fans panicking. I know the Golden State, I guess the agenda they're pushing is the refs screwed Golden State, and they still came out with a win, even, you know, with Curry playing bad, Klay Thompson playing bad, Draymond getting ejected, all this, 5 versus 8, having to go against the Grizzlies and the refs. It was just, the agenda that the Warriors are pushing, their fans in general. I like to consider them weak-minded just in general, just because of the way they want to push that agenda, that nobody in this free world, Adam Silver included, is not trying to get the Memphis Grizzlies a chance to beat the Warriors. That is not happening. So let's just start there. Yes. Okay. That's not possible. They bring in maybe 10% of a viewing like experience. Like, they're not trying to get the Suns against the Grizzlies or the Mavs against the Grizzlies. It's not happening. Yes. Anyway, back to the game. The Grindhouse was the best I've seen it in a long time. It was what I expected. So to say that it was amazing, yes, it was amazing. But it wasn't like that in the first series. It just wasn't. The game play was really good on both sides. And so I think that this is a series that is going to go long. I think it goes at least six or seven. And I know that's me speaking as a Grizzlies fan. I just really see the Grizzlies being able to play their style of basketball. I didn't see that in Minnesota. I really thought they might lose that series because of the way they were being kept in clamps from Minnesota's defense. And I never would have thought I would have said that. But just looking at the game, I could dissect it down. We will at Grizz 901. We have a podcast that we'll be releasing later today if you want to hear more about that series. But man, Jordan Poole went off. I think that's what it comes down to. He went off and Klay was okay. Klay looks like he can still shoot. Can he do anything else? I have my hesitations on that because of seeing him.
He screwed me out of a nice little same game parlay I had.
Yeah.
Over 3.5 threes joined with Ja Morant over 25.5 points. Mm. And of course he goes 3 for 10.
Yeah.
So thanks, Klay.
I just watching that, and obviously we'll get into it some other times probably, but something to watch with Klay. He's so good when he catch and shoot, when he's able to catch and shoot at the three, mainly just obviously the three. But when he does that, he is lights out and he looked like it. Every time he did a catch and shoot, it was dangerous. And sometimes he does have the pump fake, you know, and a side dribble. That's still fine. That's still his game. Sometimes he was trying to take people off the dribble and that's not his game. So if he continues to try to take people off the dribble and pull up threes, he's going to continue to struggle a little bit. He's still fine. He's still Klay Thompson. He can still shoot the lights out. So I think in general, the game was really good. I enjoyed it. I sucked at the very end. Those 3 seconds went by really fast, but we all came home a little disappointed. I did have a run-in with a Warriors fan. He was all up and down the stairs, you know, shouting and yelling. And so I just leaned over and I said, hey, would you mind letting me have your growl towel? And he looked at me and said, Oh man, I can't do that. My kids are huge Ja Morant fan. And I just turned to him and I said, I understand, but please don't come up here with your fake Warriors agenda. We know you're not a real fan. If they were playing anybody else, you'd have a Grizzly shirt on. Have a good day. Yeah. That's all I said. It was fun. It was great.
See ya. Well, doesn't that sound like San Francisco to blame everyone else for their own shortcomings?
Wow.
Little shot there. I'm not afraid of it. Bring it on, Warriors fans, if you're listening. Probably not, but if you're a Warriors fan, we don't duck it, right?
Nope.
Come on, let's have some fun. If we lose, we lose. We don't care. It's all part of the fun. It's the playoffs. But the thing about this game and this series, the Grizzlies went 16 from 40 from three, 40% for them. That is a great shooting game from them. Triple J was 6 for 9 from three. Come on. 66.7%, 33 points, 10 rebounds. This feels like a team's strength will come out every game of the series. Like, let me better explain that. So game two could be the Grizzlies' offensive rebounding game, where it's 24 offensive rebounds and the Warriors only have 6.
Yeah.
You know, and then game three could be the Warriors go 45% from three and the Grizzlies shoot 28%. It feels very hot, cold series to me because I don't think anyone wants to admit that this is more even of a series than it actually is.
Yeah.
They want to believe that the Warriors are the much better team. And I get it because I've power ranked them all year in my personal rankings as the number two at minimum worst number four team in the league. And the Grizzlies climbed all year to get into that spot. So there isn't an innate bias to that for the way they started kind of the lull midseason and they run out the Nuggets in the first round. The Memphis Grizzlies are not the Denver Nuggets. I get it. The Denver Nuggets have the MVP and a lot of older veteran players. Memphis Grizzlies are a different beast. So I don't think there is as much a difference as people want there to be. And I do think this is a 50-50 series. I do, however, think the Warriors will end up winning it because I don't think the Grizzlies are quite ready yet for when those moments get tough to overcome a super old, savvy, not super old, sorry, I shouldn't say that, an older veteran savvy team like the Warriors who know how to win those tight games. And the Grizzlies, you see this all the time with championship contenders, is you see that growth needed series from someone who is from the old guard, quote unquote. And that's what the Warriors are. Steph, Clay, Draymond, they're kind of the old guard now from their run from the mid 2010s all the way to 2019 before KD left with the injury and Steph got his injury stuff and Clay having his injury stuff being out 3 years. So that's how this series feels to me. I do also want to point out a parallel that I talked to you about when you asked me about this series. But do you have faith, before I get to that, do you have faith that the Grizzlies could actually win this series? Do you think they could actually win it, or do you think it's Warriors are probably going to win it? If the Grizzlies win a game or two, kind of like last year against the Jazz, that's great.
Yeah, so I still think the Grizzlies have a chance to win this because they are a they seem to be a better road team, honestly, than a home team. And they've played really well on the road all year. So I don't doubt them at all. I'm not scared of the Chase Center there. It's about the teams, and they really feed off of a lot of negative energy. They really do. And so being a homer, I do say that they do have a chance. And just watching the basketball game from a lens of seeing both teams compete, they're so, just as you said, they're so close in, I guess, exactly like what everybody said is like their teams are very close, whether it be athleticism or shooting. There's so many different aspects that the Grizzlies can be better than the Warriors and vice versa. So I do love your take on, I think each team will have something they're really good at in every game. But also, I think that Steven Adams possibly could be back for game two. There's rumors around it, looking at maybe just having 5 days off of the new restriction of only having and being able to come back for game two. Looks like he just had a positive test with no symptoms. So if he comes back, that's a whole nother wrinkle in the game that the Warriors have to guard against. The Grizzlies have seen exactly everything the Warriors can do so far. I do think that they can win the game. If they lose game two at home, the series is over. 100%, the series is done. So I expect them to win game two. It's a night game. They didn't play well during the day in the last series. It was a Sunday afternoon. They played terrible. This game, they actually played much better. So I expect them to win game two and then go grab one back at the Chase Center in Golden State. And you're coming back home with the home field advantage again, home court advantage. So I still think that they have a chance to win this. And so right now I'm putting my money down on Grizzlies plus 2.5 in the series at minus 115.
I like that bet. That's a good one because I do think this series ends 4-2. And I think it's going to be a Warriors win. And I'm using historical context for that 4-2. And I'm going to go back to 2013 to a Golden State Warriors team that was making the start of something for a dynasty when they advanced in the second round in the NBA playoffs as a sixth seed facing the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs won that series 4-2. Let me give you some players and some ages from 2013. Tony Parker, 30 years old. Tim Duncan, 36 years old. Manu Ginobili, 35 years old. The rest of the roster, hodgepodge of younger role players. Danny Green was in his mid-20s. Patty Mills, I believe, was 24. The Warriors that year, 2013, Steph Curry, 24. Klay, 22. Draymond, 22. And then Harrison Barnes, 20 years old. That was the start of something for them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's fast forward. Now next year, the following year, the Warriors were a sixth seed again, right? And they lost to the Clippers in the first round 4-3, which I completely forgot about that series. And I believe that was the end of Mark Jackson. I can't remember when Mark Jackson was gone. But let's fast forward to the series here, 2022. Same scenario. Now, if we want to be fair about the Grizzlies this year, I think we could say that they took advantage of having more health and a deeper roster than most teams. So can you argue that they're not legitimately a two seed and more kind of in that 4-6 range? I think you can make that argument. So there's a parallel here to me. And let's talk about players from that same series fast forward to now. Steph Curry, 33 years old. Klay Thompson, 31. Draymond, 31. Cast of hodgepodge of younger players. Jordan Poole, mid-20s. Andrew Wiggins, 24, 25. Jonathan Kuminga, 19 or 20. The Grizzlies, Ja, 22 years old. Desmond Bane, 23. Jaren Jackson Jr., 22. I mean, Dylan Brooks, 26 years old. Like, he's kind of the outlier in this situation. Their rookie, Zaire Williams, 20. This is a parallel to me of the start of a dynasty. Not saying that the Grizzlies are on par to win a bunch of championships, because as we know, the Warriors, and this is another kind of fun thing. If you look at, we'll probably talk about this more in the summer, because I do want to discuss this, but how great actually was that Warriors run if they don't have KD? Let me just put that in your mind for later, because it's one championship. I'll tell you that right now. You just go back and start looking at that. It's hard to win NBA championships. I don't care if you have two of the best shooters in NBA history. If they don't add Kevin Durant, who knows if they win two more? They might not. They might just have that one championship. So I'm not saying that the Grizzlies are on a trajectory to be a dynasty like that. Obviously, you need fortune, health, luck, and God, if you could add someone like Kevin Durant, sure. Kevin Durant at their age, obviously, you know, it'd be like adding Jason Tatum to this team, basically.
Yeah.
But this is the start of something historical parallel wise to seeing a team like the Grizzlies become and stay as a one or two seed and make deep playoff runs. So I know that probably gets you excited and happy about that. But I'm mentioning it for other people because I think most people think that this was a fluke.
Right.
But I'm telling you, you look at ages for a lot of teams that are in the top tier of the NBA for that 4 or 5 year stretch that most teams have now in the NBA, this is a big marker. And this is the kind of series that the Memphis Grizzlies need. And ultimately, I think they will not win this series and the Warriors will advance. So do you have any added thoughts to that?
Yeah, so I could easily see the Warriors winning the series. That's beyond a shadow of doubt. Like, they are a very, very good team. And so I just think that they have a lot of players that can do certain things and certain things that can win and swing a game. Just watch this series, though. You're going to see the Grizzlies, in my opinion, I think they're going to get hot one game and they're going to win by 15 plus. You're also going to see the Warriors get hot one game and they're going to win by 15 plus. And it's going to be probably 20 plus. Like, that's going to happen in this series. I think both teams really came out and played very well in that first game. I think that looking at a guy like Jaren plays that well and shoots that well from three won't probably happen again. But somebody to watch, I do think, is Jaren in this series. I think this is a big series for Jaren Jackson Jr. He could score actually 20 points a game, because I don't believe Draymond is in the business for trying to do the whole flopping stuff. You're going to see a flop out of him, but I don't think you're going to see the same kind of flopping and trying to get into him like the Timberwolves did. So I expect this series to go long. I think it will be a great series. I think we'll look back on them and say game one was really what this series ended up being. It just came down to being very close. So, but each team will have their game where they play just great and lights out. And they're going to do that. But in the end of the day, I think this game is going to go at least six. I hope the Grizz win, but I could easily see somebody like the Warriors just going ahead and edging them out.
Yeah. What I don't want to happen from this series is if the Grizzlies somehow do lose game two, which is probably more 50-50 game than most people realize. As if this is done in 4 or 5 games. I do not. Yeah. I think people are stupid to discredit the Grizzlies for being a 2 seed and failing. Now, that's what we do. That's part of the job. People are going to do that. People love to hate and prey on people's downfall. But it's not an indication of success next year, right? Like, yeah. I would expect the Grizzlies to be right back over some other teams, you know, who were just probably happy to be there. So if this is done in 4 or 5 games, you can dump on everybody from the Grizzlies fans if you want. That's fine. But next year you're going to be wrong. So be careful about what you say with those takes if this series does end early. Now, I did have a couple of few things I want to talk about. I'm going to save them now because I think they're going to be a good summer topic. So let's save all the content we have. I think that was good to talk about just the series so far. So give me your 4 teams that are advancing out of here.
Wow. All right. So I'm saying the Heat and the Celtics from the East. And I'm going to say the Suns and the Grizzlies.
Oh, okay. Good. I like that. Yeah, because I am Celtics 76ers. I think that's the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's bad. Bucks fans are probably mad that we're not giving them any credit.
Yeah.
And we should probably, like, I should have seriously considered the Bucks winning this. But I think just the Celtics right now are just a little bit better. And they just had a bad game one, so I'm not going to overreact. So I've got 76ers Celtics. And I think the West is indeed going to be Suns Warriors. So that's who I've got in round 2. So we will probably be back in a week or so. Maybe we'll find Cody. I don't know. If he's still a member. But do you have anything to plug? I know you already talked about Grizz 901 episode coming out, talking about game 2, which is on Tuesday. Anything else for you to plug?
Yep. So, yeah, the Grizz 901 is coming out. We're going to break down a lot about Dylan Brooks as well as some other team, some of the Warriors. But also go check out Bet the Lead. We've done pretty well. And in the playoffs, I feel like whether it's a game or props, I feel like we're doing a fairly good job over there giving out info. If you are a baseball fan, the info that's coming out from some of our guys in the Discord channel from baseball It really is good. It doesn't give you all exactly who to bet, but it gives you information and the firepower to go at it. So go check us out at Bet the Lead. So that's all I have. I'm excited. I'm going to do a breakdown. If you're a Grizzlies fan, go check out Grizzly, Grizz_lead. I'm going to do a breakdown. I have a poll up right now. It expires tonight. So when you hear this, go check it out. I think it's 7 o'clock Central. It expires. And it's pretty much asking the questions of what kind of video breakdown do you want me to do? And most of it has, you know, it's just been a thread where I get different clips, different videos, give my opinion on it. It could be 5 videos, could be 10, who knows, but just kind of breaking down. And some of those were, you know, backdoor cuts from the Warriors. Steven Adams been his effect on the defense or just a game in general. Jordan Poole, how to stop him. But then Dylan Brooks, the good Dylan, the bad Dylan. Mostly it's the bad Dylan, if you know me. So that's all I got, man. This is fun. I haven't been back on free basketball in like 2 or 3 weeks.
We've had a long hiatus, had a lot of solo projects, a lot going on. So that will wrap us up for this week. Hope everybody enjoys the games tonight. Win some money. Kentucky Derby on Saturday. If you're trying to make a trip to West Memphis, Arkansas, I will be in attendance. If you want to hang out, just to give a little hint to everybody, I will be playing a horse. One of many horses I'll probably be playing. White Avario.
Woo!
Go ahead and remember the name now. You heard it a week early. If he's not scratched, he'll probably be scratched by race day. White Avario will be one of my tickets. So there you go. Little tip from me. Have a good week. We'll see you guys next Monday.